Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series on the book of Genesis. The readings are taken from Genesis 12 verses 1 to 9 and Hebrews 1 verse 1 followed by verses 8 to 12. The talk is given by our guest speaker, the Reverend Chris Hare, and is entitled Abraham, the Call. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Ben. Our Old Testament reading, as we continue Genesis, is from chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord has said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Hebrews 1, verse 1, and then verses 8 to 12. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment that they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great joy to be with you this morning. As Sue said in the introduction, my wife Miriam's here with me this morning, and we are Rachel's mum and dad, and very proud grandparents to Lily, Tom, Benji, and Grace. And as Rachel isn't here, shall I just tell you a little secret about Rachel, because she can't hear us. But when she was about two, she used to be very active. She still is. And she acquired a nickname. and we still call her today Racy. And it's quite appropriate, isn't it? But I've heard wonderful things about you all here at St. James and your faithfulness. I sound a bit like St. Paul writing to the Colossians. But truly, I do thank God for you. And it's a real joy to come and share with you this morning. So let me just say a prayer. May what I say and what you hear reflect the heart and the mind of our Lord and brother Jesus. Amen. So Abram, God calls Abram. Over the last 10 years or so, researching family history has become one of the fastest growing pastimes. I think the BBC have certainly helped with that program, Who Do You Think You Are? I expect many of you know that program. As you probably know, the program takes a celebrity of some sort and explores their family roots. And here's a family tree. The BBC makes sure that the family history, there's a quirk or a scandal somewhere in that family tree. It could be an East Enders actor finding out that he's obscurely related to Edward III. I wonder whether there's anybody in the church here this morning who's done a little research into their family tree and found out that they've got some interesting relative in the past. Anybody got anybody? Yes. Would you like to share with me who it is? Really?
Yes. And when Henry Irving became famous, he asked my great grandparents to, he gave them tickets to all his first night shows in London.
My word. Wonderful. Anybody else got anything that they'd like to? Yes, Richard.
A distant relative of ours in the past actually translated a version of the Bible, and then he shared the name of my father, John Lucas. So there is actually, and we do have one, my brother has it. The Lucas Bible.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The Lucas Bible. Wonderful. Well, I can share with you that we've done some research into my family, and I am actually related to William Wilberforce. He is my first cousin six times removed. But it's still something that I go, yes. Well, today, we're going to look at your and my family tree. The family tree of Christians. And there's a real surprise in that, too. Way back in history, right back at the beginning, you see, we have a moon worshipper in our tree. Abraham is in our family tree. His name, as you probably know, was originally Abram, but later in the story, God changed his name to Abraham, which actually means father of many nations. Well, today, what's today? Father's Day. And there, we're going to look at the father of many nations. I don't know whether Fabian had worked that one out or not, but perhaps you've never thought or regarded Abraham as crucial. He's pretty distant after all. And surely we are Jesus' people, not people of Abraham. Yet this one-time moon worshipper provides the essential starting point for every Christian's family tree. The essential foundation for every Christian's storyline. Let's see this morning why Abraham matters and put him into context as we look at the call that Abraham received from God. a brief summary of the story so far. God so loved the world. You've already looked at the wonderful story of creation and man and woman being able to walk in that beautiful garden. And yet, only two or three pages further into the Bible, you could forgive God for not loving the world. God's wonderful creation faced rebellion as Adam and Eve decided it wasn't enough for them. And they wanted to play God themselves. They provoked God's displeasure as they ate of that one tree that was forbidden. And that brought about a curse that affects all of life. And so as a result, they were banished and barred from the garden. But God so loved the world. Maybe, but meanwhile, sin continued to affect the world and spread in a way that makes a global pandemic like COVID seem sluggish in comparison. And soon all God can think of is wiping it all out and starting again, sending a storm that was way beyond anything like Storm Annabelle or Storm Daniel or whatever they choose the name produces today. Yes, as Mike explained last week, God starts again with a flood that sweeps everything away. But God so loved the world. And Noah, his family, and the animals are saved in the ark. God so loved the world. Yet, sadly, the world remained an ugly place. And in Genesis 11, the chapter just before the one we've heard read this morning, ambition and pride rear their heads in the hearts of the people, and they decide to build the Tower of Babel, a tower that leaves the Shard and all those super towers in Dubai looking like miniatures. And why do the people do it? Because they want to make a name for themselves and bring themselves up onto an equal footing with God himself. Well, not surprisingly, God's not very happy again. And it causes him to scatter all the people all over the world and to speak different languages so that they can't even understand each other. Yes, in chapter 11, it's as if God has finally lost patience. There's no sign of any love or grace or hope after this latest coup. Has God's love run out? And then we discover God hasn't given up yet. The heart of love is still beating, and our story begins. God so loved the world, and most of you know how it goes on, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But actually, the story starts here. God so loved the world that he called Abraham. This is the story that undoes the curse. God so loved the world, he called Abraham. Let's have a look. Here we have this pretty awful situation in the world. It's totally contaminated by sin. There is chaos and confusion. And into all of this, God speaks extraordinary words of grace. Out of the blue, God speaks to Abraham. And he says the first promise. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And there's promise after promise. God hasn't given up on the world. There is a future, even from this very dark place. Love and grace and purpose is poured out onto Abraham. But it isn't just restricted to him. Just look at these verses. There's a promise of a people, continuing in verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. I mean, that might sound like an easy line to come out with, But who's God chosen? Extraordinary. He's chosen a man aged 75. I suspect there might be one or two of you just over 75 this morning. I am. And if that's not insurmountable, Sarah, his wife, we're told, was childless and had been unable to conceive. And yet God promises, you will be a great nation. A people with a place. To truly belong, you need somewhere to call home. When you don't have that, people just feel rootless. And God says, go to a land I will show you. Here's yet another promise. The promised land for a promised people. Leaving what had been their home, now Abraham discovers there is a promise of a new home and a new place ahead. And indeed, God promises protection on the way. What's the next one? I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Yet another promise. And you know, I can't help feeling there's a great irony here. Because nobody knows the name of any of those proud rebels of the previous chapter who tried to make a name for themselves through building that huge Tower of Babel. Nobody knows a single name of those people. Yet now Abraham is told to go away from his homeland and take his family, and God promises yet another promise. I will make your name great. No, it's not the makers of the Tower of Babel that we remember, but Abraham. Today, Abraham's name is known right across the world. It isn't a story just for Jewish people. God so loved the world, he called Abraham to bless us. Jesus, you see, is there in Abraham's family tree. He is one of the descendants. He is the one who makes these promises come true. And we are in that family tree because of Jesus. In the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, if you belong to Christ, then you are the true children of Abraham. And you are heirs or inheritors of God's promise to Abraham. If you are Christ's man or Christ's woman, then these promises are for you. The New Testament tells us that we don't work out Abraham's family tree following father to son to grandson. No, we do it by following the faith line. Abraham had faith in God's promises. He relied on them. Lived his life trusting in them. Those who have faith in Christ and rely on him, living their lives trusting him, we find ourselves on Abraham's family tree. And it's a family tree of blessing. We're included. God so loved the world, he called Abraham to bless you and me. His story is our story. These are our blessings. And this is the story that undoes the curse. And as Christians, we are part of it. And when it finally reaches its climax, there will be a home. There won't be a cloud or a harp in sight. It's something much more earthy. A new heaven and a new earth. And nothing of the curse will stain it. Evil and sin, tears and pain, sickness and death will all be gone. And the people gathered to enjoy it will make St. James Church, with a few different nationalities, seem tiny. Because every nation, every tribe, every language will be there. And as God promised, yet another promise, all people on earth will be blessed through you. God so loved the world, he called Abraham to bless you. This is the story to keep your eyes on. This is the one not to lose track of, to keep on your playlist when you're asking the question of how you make sense of life. And it's a storyline that makes us look outwards. You see, in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. However, I don't think the idea actually begins there. It begins here in Genesis 12. All people on earth will be blessed through you. If you've got a place in this faith family tree, it's so that you can bring blessing to the world. Blessing is God's happiness. Blessing is living in relationship with God. I just wonder, do you pray each day, Lord, make me a blessing to someone today? Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. It's a great daily prayer to have. God so loved the world that he called Abraham to bless us, to bless others. This is our story. God's love is remarkable. You see, at the end of Genesis 11, we see the family leaving Ur, just on the bottom right, which is underlined with a red dot there. And they went all the way up the river Euphrates, and right at the top there, where there's another red dot, is Haran, which is where they stopped. And Abraham's dad and Abraham settled there in Haran with the family. They're well short of Canaan, which is right down further south. And don't think Abraham was a spiritual goody-two-shoes who was perfect in every way. He worshipped other gods. But God uses the most unlikely of people, doesn't he? He uses you and me. Most unlikely. You see, Haran actually had a reputation for moon worship. It looks as though when they got there, they fell into the way of everybody else. Chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, and we're not sure whether that was in Ur or in Haran, but he said, go to the land I will show you. It's a big call, isn't it? A huge ask. Just put yourself in Abraham's shoes. But it's like God calling us today. Following Christ can cause huge issues at home with the family or for many people in the country where they live. It's really difficult to follow Christ. Abraham is a template for us to follow. God so loved the world, he called Abraham to model faith. In Hebrews 11, the writer runs through a parade of Old Testament heroes, reminding his readers who are struggling to hold on to their faith that they're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Abraham is among them. And it says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And that's just how our chapter in Genesis 12 tells it. Verse 1, the Lord said, go. Verse 4, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. You don't have to be that curious to wonder what Abraham's doubts or worries or concerns were. All we are just shown is his obedience. He went. And as he went, you may have heard that he built altars to the living God in the heart of the Canaanite people's land. It was as if he was marking out that territory for the future. Faith obedience by Abraham, even when he doesn't know how things will turn out. We're not told that Abraham had any doubts or concerns, but I can't help thinking that he did, but he was obedient. I don't know about you, but I hate going into something that I don't know exactly what I'm going into. I like to be in control. I think most of us do. and know where I'm going to end up rather than have any uncertainty. That's why we find faith so hard at times. Because God says go, but we think about it. Well, what would it do for my career or for my marriage prospects, my relationships with my family? My wife's sister, Deborah, felt when she was about 26 that God was calling her to serve as a missionary, to serve him overseas. But she was desperate to be married. And she said to God, I will go and serve as a missionary if you provide me with a husband. And she waited, and she waited. Eventually, she thought, oh, well, I better go. And she went off to Bible college and went off to serve God in Rwanda. What happened there? She met a fellow very nice missionary, and they got married out in Rwanda. God knows. Do you know, God said to Abraham, I will, in those verses we heard, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times. Promise after promise. Will you trust God to give you an identity, a place, a people, a place where you belong? And will you be a blessing to others? We truly have an example of faith in Abraham. We are in his family tree. Amen. Let's just pray.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.